Otherwise, by all rights, I have no right to call myself a Christian. I have no right to call myself a saint. I can't even say that I know God, because according to the Apostle John in 1 John 3, it says, "Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." And it says, this is how the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. If I don't do righteousness in every respect as Christ did, then I have no right to call myself a Christian or a son of God or a holy one or a saint. Well, that begs the question, Paul. I hear you call yourself a Christian. Ah, that's true. Because I do so in hope. Because, as Paul said, having these promises, dearly beloved, laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, let us perfect holiness. We have certain promises. And by these promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. And there's a progression. You know, it says, Jesus Christ is ascended to the right hand of God, and all things are put under his feet. This is from Hebrews. And then Paul says, but we do not yet see all things put under him. Even though God has subjected everything and put everything under the feet of Christ, we don't see it that way, do we? We see things under this kingdom, things under that kingdom, governments ruling here, governments ruling there. So, though we hear that Christ is over all, yet we do not see it, we hear that Christ has dominion over us, and that the Spirit of God is supposed to lead us unto righteousness. And the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to yield love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., and we don't have it yet. How is this? How can these things be? It's like a race. Only the victor is crowned. There has to be a victory. I want to pass my opponents. Sins are against me. And I need to pass them up and leave them behind me. Repentance. Remission. Remission of sin is totally opposed to the idea of commission of sins. If you have committed sins, your sins remain. They're not remitted. The sins that are remitted are the ones that have stopped. But yet the question remains, if you have been a sinner, how can you be a saint ever? Because you've been a sinner. And that is the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ brings by his blood. The forgiveness and remission. He forgives the sins. But before he dies, he's already forgiving sins. Forgiveness of sins is one thing. But to have the power to remit sins, to make men free from sins. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's quite another animal. We have to be tempted as he was tempted, and be able to stand up against it as he stood up against it. That is what we need. And the only way to obtain that is by the power of God. I can't teach myself to do it. I can't teach anyone else to do it. God has to give it to us. So it is in seeking and believing those promises of that power that we obtain eternal life and the likeness to Jesus Christ that we are told we ought to seek. And that by our confession of ourselves as Christians, we are admitting we ought to seek, whether we realize it or not. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The good news. Okay. John's put in prison. The end of the forerunner. Now comes the Christ, Jesus. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye. Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. What repent? Why should I do that? Wasn't the gospel just believe ye? Believe ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Because the gospel has to do with repentance. You repent because you believe the gospel, because you know that through the gospel, I shall be able to make good repentance. I shall be able to make a good repentance for my sins. You know, in the old covenant, they would go year by year to make a sacrifice. Every year they would go up to make sacrifices for their sins, because they would have sins and they would always have sins and they'd always make sacrifices. And as Paul said in Hebrews, if those sacrifices were truly effectual, they wouldn't have to go back and make them year over year. But the power of Christ, the blood of Christ, is effectual, so we don't have to make sacrifices because he is turning us from our sins. It is powerful enough through all our lifetime to cleanse us from all the sin that comes up, that was. But remember, it says the remission of sins that are past. Future sins can't be remitted ahead of time. They can't be remitted ahead of time. And as a Christian, I don't want to speak in terms of future sins. Because I want to believe God's promise that there aren't going to be future sins. I want to believe that the race is won. But I don't want to kid myself. I don't want to kid myself. Meaning that some people, in anxiousness for righteousness, they begin to delude themselves and start to justify themselves in their sins. In order to make themselves righteous, they start passing off iniquity as acceptable. This is also unacceptable. If I have to live degrading myself and saying, I don't know God, I don't know righteousness, and I'm not born of God, not fully, because he that is born of God doth not commit sin. 1 John chapter 3. Read 1 John chapter 3. If you don't understand the sin issue, read 1 John chapter 3. And don't listen to some minister who would pervert your mind from the truth that is spoken there. If you sin, you do unrighteousness, you're not of God. That's it. Because the purpose of Jesus Christ coming is to deliver us promises that we could believe in them, and then that the divine power would come down and cleanse us from all iniquity. That is what he came to do. To save us from our sins. Not merely to take away guilt, but also to teach us the ways of uprightness. And yeah, maybe we don't see it all happen at once. Yet we do not give up faith. Ought we not to rather believe that it's going to continue and improve and build on itself? From faith to faith, from faith to virtue, to knowledge, to temperance, to godliness, etc. Believe the gospel. There's good news. I'm here to preach the gospel. That's why it's such a foreign thing, because they don't preach it anymore. There's no gospel of the kingdom. Repent ye. Turn from your sins. It says, accept Jesus Christ and you'll go to heaven. That's the gospel they preach today. That's foreign to the gospel of we preach the resurrection. Because without your body, you go up to heaven. What? I believe in the resurrection of the dead, not the whatever it is they teach. The immortality of the soul. Unchristian, unbiblical doctrines. I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother, this is verse 16, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship, with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Just the way he called them with authority. He said, come and follow me, I will make you a fisher of men.